Go ahead and leave your Bibles open to the passage Monty read. We're going to be referencing other passages in the Scriptures. But for those that don't know, we're in a study right now. We're in the midst of a study of the 33 things that happen at the moment of faith in a person's life. A lot of people think, well, I trusted in Christ and I was saved. But in reality, based upon Scripture, there are 33 things that occur instantaneously at the moment of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I decided to do a study on that. That study, the technical theological term is soteriology, is what it's called, the study of salvation or the doctrine of salvation. And as we go through, we're going to look today at items 7 and 8 of the 33. Now these are not in order, nor are they in order as far as importance. They're all equally important. But some of them are major doctrines and some of them are rather obscure or insignificant because they are results of what those major doctrines are. Example being, this morning, we're going to look at the subject of adoption, okay? And then secondly, we're going to look at the fact that everyone that is a believer is a member of the household and family of God. There's another benefit, and that is that we're citizens of heaven. Okay, so I could have run this second one with that, but I decided to run it with adoption because it relates to our family relationship, and you can see the outworking of it. So the dominant time that we spend this morning will be on the subject of adoption and what takes place in adoption in the life of the believer. So let's pray, and then we'll study, okay? Father, we come this morning, pray that you'd open our minds and hearts to your truth. Direct me, Lord, as I teach, that you would keep me from error. Help me to rightly divide your word of truth. Explain it clearly and accurately in such a manner and way, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate this truth and make application to the individual hearts and lives in this place today. Father, I pray this and I ask this of you in Christ Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. The subject of adoption. What does adoption mean as it relates to Scripture? Not the word. As Monty said, he was adopted as a child and he came into a family. There's a difference between a spiritual adoption and an earthly adoption. Because in Monty's relationship with his parents after he was adopted, it wasn't until he gained an age and experience in life that he was granted more rights and privileges within that family. But he was a full member of the family. The relationship with Christians and God's adoption is a little bit different, okay? You're still part of God's family. But listen to this, adoption, definition. It is an act of God which places the believer in his family as an adult, okay? As an adult. So you don't grow as far as adoption's concerned in relationship with God. You're placed in there as an adult. An adult means you have full rights and privileges, okay? The possession of full privileges in the family of God. In addition, adoption means that you have divested of all previous relationships and responsibilities. In other words, you're no longer responsible to what you were associated with before your adoption. Being born again and being adopted occur at the same time. Okay, so what I want to do is look at five things that work out from this idea of adoption. Number one is adoption is a blessing from God. You're both born again and adopted at the same time. Now, how does that work? Well, this is how they relate. When a person is born again, that is regeneration. That's where you receive new life, okay? When a person comes to faith in Christ, he is regenerated. And what that means is your human spirit is brought alive, okay? And you receive the eternal life of God. Eternal life of God means that that life never ends. It is eternal. It goes on forever. You possess eternal life. If eternal life can ever end, it's not eternal, folks. So it goes on forever. And you possess that at the moment of faith. You are regenerated. Your spirit is brought alive. You're also adopted. And what adoption relates to is your legal standing with God. Regeneration brings you alive. Adoption relates to your legal standing. Now, what do I mean by legal standing? Well, what I mean is this, that as an adopted member of God's family, you come in with full relationship with God and full rights and privileges of an adult. Okay? All the blessings of God are credited to your account the first day you're adopted into that family. That's the difference between two. Just remember, regeneration relates to life. Adoption relates to the legal standing. What do I have? What is my rightful access to? You have all that God has. That's the idea. Okay, that's the difference between the two. There is also, in relationship to adoption being a blessing from God, under the same heading, we also look at adoption this way. There is a present tense adoption and there is a future tense adoption. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at present tense. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. And look with me, if you would, at verse 15. Romans 8 and 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 is going to deal with this subject. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Stop just a minute. What's that mean? A spirit of bondage again to fear. What that relates to is what sin does into the life of a person. Sin brings bondage, and as a result of that bondage, you are in fear. You're in fear of the consequences of sin. You're in fear of what's going to take place. Why is that? Because the consciousness of man knows that there is a God out there. You know, atheists and people of that sort deny the presence of God, but that's because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They know there's a God. If there was no God, there would be no argument against there not being a God, right? Where does that concept come from? Because it's innate within mankind, all right? And so there is bondage and fear as a result of sin. But Paul says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if God, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's present tense, folks. That takes place right now. We go from slaves to sons instantaneously. But there's also a future adoption. If you look down with me further in that passage, there's a future adoption there in verse 23. And it says, and not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we see we have an adoption right now in that spiritually we're placed in Christ and we have access to all the things of God. But there's also a future tense involved in adoption, and that is that my body is going to receive something very special, and that is my body is going to be glorified and separate from sin and in the presence of God also. Okay? So there's a present tense adoption. There's a future tense adoption. What is the foundation for my adoption? That's real important. That's point two. What is the foundation of my adoption? The foundation of my adoption is God. It's God. Now, turn to Ephesians 1, passage Monty read. What's the significance of that? Significance of that is this. Your salvation and my salvation is based upon the faithfulness of God. It's built upon the faithfulness of God. Jonah said that salvation is of the Lord. What does that mean? It means God begins and ends. He is the author and finisher of our salvation. Okay? My hope for eternal presence with God and my hope for eternal dwelling with God is not because I've been faithful. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I can remember a day and time when I trusted Christ and I was born again. My future rests solely upon the fact that God is a faithful God that has secured my salvation for me, and it is a gift. I have a gift from God is what I have. God acquired my salvation. God did what was necessary to bring it to me, and the Bible also says God is the one that keeps me in that relationship. So the foundation of my salvation is the Lord. Look at verse 5 of our text there, Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestined us, there's that word everyone's scared of, predestined. You say that word, people, oh man, I had an old boy one time I was preaching, he said, oh man, I don't like that predestiny stuff that you talk about. And I said, I don't talk about predestiny. What are you talking about? He said, oh, he said, that's a scary subject right there. And I said, yeah, it's terrifying. But I said, it's designed to be that way because the Bible is about God. Having predestined us to adoption. Now, what does predestined mean? Let me tell you what it means. Predestined means to be marked out or determined beforehand. That's what it means. Be marked out or determined beforehand. You know, God's not just idling along saying, oh, you know, that old boy down there probably needs to get saved. God made a determination, okay? God is a God of plan and order. He's not a God of chance and circumstance. There's a big difference between the two. You want a God that is a God of plan and order and sovereignty versus chance and circumstance. Chance and circumstance, he could go either way. Plan and order, he knows exactly what's going to take place. He's sovereign. He's in control. So he is marked out beforehand. God reached down and adopted sinners into relationship with him. In essence, what has God done? He's taken me from the gutter of sin to the palace of glory. That's what he's done. It's an act of God. Why did God do it? Well, let's follow on through in verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. See, God does it according to the good pleasure of his will. Not according to my will, not according to my desires, but according to the good pleasure of his will. What that means is, to put it in a good term, folks, you understand, he's driving a bus, folks. You follow what that means? Sit down. He's driving a bus. Oh, my boy getting up in the back, fishing, go to the bathroom, man. He jumped back down. I said, no. What I'm saying is, sit down on the bus and relax. God's in control. God is driving the bus. Amen? My life is built upon God. I'm not going to run around worrying, fearful about, oh, man, what's going on? God's in control. God's in control. And when I die, he simply moves me from the veil of flesh into the eternal realm. Nothing to fear. God says there's nothing to fear because you're going to see him face to face. You're going to go from what's great to that which is unimaginable. That's what it is. So God's in control. God's in charge. And I'm here to walk with him. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. My assurance is in God. How do I know I've been predestined? You know how you know? Because you believe. Okay? I believe, therefore I know. Right? That's exactly what it's built upon. Because my salvation is built upon God. My salvation is built upon the Lord himself. Well, what's another benefit? We got a blessing from God. We've got a foundation from God. But there's also a means how all this takes place. And you know what it is? It is through Jesus Christ. All the blessings that we have as an adopted member of God's family come through the person of Christ. I want to look at that in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you have a pen, I can show you my Bible here. I've got all these marked because I write in my Bible. A lot of people think, well, it's the Holy Bible. You're not supposed to write in it. You realize that the scribes that recorded the Holy Scriptures wrote on the original manuscripts? And all we have is a translation of those. And we don't have a translation of the original manuscripts. We have translations of those that came from the originals. Okay? So there's nothing unspiritual about writing in a Bible. Matter of fact, I encourage you to write in the Bible. My three previous Bibles that I had that I've been preaching out of, I preach out of them until I can't read them anymore because there's so much writing in them. So I encourage you to do it. Now what I did here, this is a helpful little Bible study tool. This is one of those little side notes in a sermon that'll help you. We're going to look at a word in, I-N, okay? That word I-N denotes position, okay? It denotes a relationship that is secure and sure. And so what I did in my Bible is I took my pen, and when I came to that word and it related to Christ or to God, I go over it with my pen three or four times, and it boldens it up, and it just jumps out of the scriptures at me. So when I look at it, I can see all these ends that are in there. Okay? Follow me on this. Let's look at the first one, verse 3, Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See that little phrase, in Christ? That talks about position. My position is I've been placed in Christ. Therefore, when I stand before God, spiritually speaking, I am in Christ. God sees the glory of Christ. God sees the righteousness of Christ because I am in Him. Okay? I am placed in that relationship. That is an eternal position that is secure forever. It occurs the moment of justification, folks, and it is secure for all eternity. I am in Christ. That's my security. My security is that I am in Christ. Christ is my Savior. He is my ark, if you will. And I am in the ark, and the storms of life will not affect me because Christ will carry me through. You follow? Verse 4, just as He chose us, here it is, in Him. There's another one. The second one right there. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let's look at a third end, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. See, that's that position again, in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. In Him, there it is again. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His glory. Look at verse 9. Look down at verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that are on earth. Number 11, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were saved with the Holy Spirit of promise. Note that. Everything is in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. All that I have in salvation is because of Christ. It's not because of me. One of the tragedies of modern day Christianity is there's so much emphasis put upon man and man's ability and man doing this. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it is done in churches by pastors through guilt manipulation to try to get people to do certain things. They threaten people with losing their salvation, losing a relationship with God, and all this other kind of nonsense. If they don't stay faithful with God, God's going to take it away. You better be good. You better obey. You better follow. Now, granted, there are consequences when you don't obey God. There can be tragic consequences because all sin brings consequence with it. But understand this, your salvation is not built upon you. Your salvation is not built upon what you do. Your salvation is built upon God and His righteousness and His promises and His certainty. That's what I rest upon. If it's built upon me, I'd have quit a long time ago, folks. I really would have. I don't trust in man. I don't trust in man's ability, but I do trust in a sovereign God who is in control that's going to take care of my life. And I will walk in that relationship with security and peace because I trust in God. Therefore, when I come to worship, I worship God because all glory goes to Him. All glory is to Him. That's the beauty of this relationship through Christ. Well, ask this. What are some of the rights and privileges that we have as a result of this adoption? We've looked at the blessings, the foundation, the means. Now let's look at the rights and privileges. Well, number one, you're going to be related to Him. Back in verse 5 of Ephesians. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. We have a family relationship with Him. Okay? We are His children, if you will. But not only children, that verse I read previously in Romans 8:17, look at it. That verse in 8:17 told us also that what? We're heirs. We're heirs of God. Okay? And look at this. He says, verse 16 to get background. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and indeed we suffer with Him. See, there's a higher level. You become not just an heir, but you can become a joint heir through suffering. So you're an heir just simply because God's adopted you. But you'll become a joint heir if you join into the sufferings with Christ. So see, there's one of the benefits when you teach on the doctrine of suffering. What does it relate to? It relates to a deeper heirship with God. But every one of us in here has an heirship with God simply because we've been adopted into His family. So I'm a child of God. I've got an heirship with God. I'm also, because of that, I'm set for life. You ever heard anyone say that? They say, I got an inheritance. He said, oh boy, got an inheritance over there, and he's set for life. I said, yeah, if he don't burn it all up, he's set for life. I've seen people burn up inheritances. I've seen them burn them up quick, very quick. I counseled with a young man one time that burned up $7 million in 3 years, and he had a truck that he wrecked to show for it. That was it. And basically, he just wasted it, is what he had done. But at the time he got it, you know what folks said about him? He's set for life. That's what the Scripture tells me. Because I've been adopted by God and I'm an heir of God, I'm set for life. My future is secure because my future is built upon Him. You see that? That's a benefit. That's a freebie in the Christian life. Just because you're on the team, you get that. So I've got a relationship to God. I've got an heirship with God, and that heirship means my future is secure. Well, what should be our response? That's the next point. Point five is, what should be our response to this? Let's go back to the Ephesian passage. Ephesians chapter 1 speaks to what our response should be. Ephesians 1 and 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We should praise Him is what we should do. All glory goes to Him. And because we're in relationship with Him, you know what? We ought to praise Him. You've got to remember where you've come from. Right? You ever met people that come into money or come into a position? I saw it all the time working in the prison system. People would get promoted into a certain position and they all immediately, I mean that day, they better than everybody else out there. They better than everyone underneath them. Now I know you never struggle with that, but I've seen people that have struggled with that and have done that. You know why? They forget where they came from. They forget where they came from. You see people all the time come into money, and what happened? They cut everyone off behind them. Why? They forget where they came from. Okay, same thing people in salvation. They've been in church 15, 20 years. And you know what they do? They kind of look down upon folks that don't know the Lord. Oh, look at that old sorry thing out there. I've had it as a young believer. Had some guys hem me up at a church one time. I was brand new saved. Hadn't even been saved a year. And they jumped on me because I was bringing a bunch of biker trash into the church. That's what they called it, biker trash. These guys were all tatted up, and they were wild-looking people. I will admit to that. But they were all saved. I led every one of them to the Lord. They lived down in fish camps on the Trinity River. And they came into church, and they were worshiping God. They loved the Lord, man. They loved him with all their heart. People in that church didn't like that. I said, well, you was lost one time and got saved, didn't you? Well, yeah, I sure did. I said, well, that's all these guys. They ain't been saved that long. That's why they act like that. They haven't been trained in the Christian way yet. That kind of thing. They're a little rough around the edges, you know. Yeah, they let a word slip every now and then. They just got saved. People forget where they came from. They forget it. They forget that at one time they were at the end of their rope. They had no hope. And they cried out to God, and God reached down into miry clay and pulled them out. That's what God does. Remember where you came from. Remember that a God of grace and mercy reached down and lifted you up. You didn't do that. It was God that did that for you. And so therefore, God should be praised and honored for what he's done in our life. Amen? You bet he should. Now, what does all this result in? We are members of the household and family of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. This is the eighth item that occurs at the moment of salvation. We spent all this time looking at adoption, but this is one of the outworkings of it. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's what's happened to us, folks. We are now a member of God's household and God's family. You know why? Because God has adopted me into that, and I've got full rights and privileges and an heirship with God as a result of it. Praise be to him for what he's done. You know what that tells me? That tells me that no matter what I encounter in life, along the road in life, I've got a future that's secure, that has set me for life. You follow that? John Newton illustrated it like this. He said this guy got word that he had an inheritance. And he said, all you got to do is you got to go to the residence that we give you on a sheet of paper. And when you get there, tell them who you are, because you're the person listed on the will that's going to get the inheritance. The inheritance is going to make you the richest man in the entire nation. And this guy loaded up in his carriage. He headed down the road, and en route to this place, his carriage broke down a mile from his destination. And they said that the man got out of the carriage and sat on the side of the road and wrung his hands and wept because his carriage was broke down. You know what? Nobody would feel sorry for him, would they? You know why? Because he's got an inheritance 1 mile up the road. All he's got to do is get up and walk there and get that inheritance, right? And he could buy all the carriages in that whole country. And I said, that is a perfect illustration of what happens in our relationship with God, because we've been adopted. We've got full heirship with God. We go down the road of life, and you know what happens? We spend a lot of our Christian life crying because our carriage broke down. And we forget what we got at the end of the road, folks. We forget what God's got for us. Now, do you think God pities us and feels sorry for us when we're crying over that broken carriage and we're a mile from what? Getting an inheritance that is undefiled, that won't pass away, that'll last forever and ever. That's what you have with God. Thank God for the salvation that he's given us. Let's pray. Father God, we come in prayer this morning thanking you, Lord, for your goodness, thanking you, Lord, for your salvation. And Father, we pray and we ask for your grace to live for you, Lord, day by day, and we thank you for it. Father, I pray if there's one here today that's never trusted Christ, that they would come to know him, that they would experience both regeneration and adoption, Lord, as a member of your family, as they look to Christ and trust in Christ for their salvation, Lord. I do pray. Thank you, God, for all you've done. We pray this in Christ's name, Lord. Amen.